In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with all of you. Great to be with all of you as we enter into this third Sunday of the Holy Season of Lent. So, as is our custom, we'd like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many different titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Mary is the Mother of God. She's the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And when we pray the Hail Holy Queen, we also invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and ask Mary to pray for us and obtain for us many special blessings this day and the rest of Lent and all the days of our lives as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director, our spiritual guide, the Holy Spirit. And ask the Holy Spirit to help us. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is also known from the Catechism of the Catholic Church as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. The Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler. He is our consoler in the midst of our trials and tribulations that we all experience. Holy Spirit is our counselor, giving us advice to make the right decisions for ourselves as well as for our family. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. If that were not enough, the Holy Spirit is also our interior master. The interior master. St. Paul reminds us with these words. He says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to pour light into our minds and set our hearts on fire with the love of God. As we pray the classical prayer to the Holy Spirit, and that is, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. And enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, my friends, as we enter into this third Sunday of the holy season of Lent, I promise that in my two Masses today, I will be praying for all of you and your intentions. I'd like to place you and your families on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There is no greater prayer in the world than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is the prayer par excellence, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And these will be my intentions. My first intention, I'd like to pray for all of us that we would be open, that we'd be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That we will be docile to the Holy Spirit. And perhaps we can say this prayer during the course of the day. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray for your families and your family members who have walked away from God. That they would return. That your family members would come to the conclusion that true happiness can only be found in God. My last intention will be that all of us will pray for the conversion of sinners, but especially let's pray for the conversion of deathbed sinners. That is to say, all those who will be dying within the next 24 hours, that they would die in the peace of Christ. That they would die in friendship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are my intentions. So, my friends, every time we enter into the Sunday, we celebrate a mini Easter, even in the midst. Even in the midst of the celebration of the holy season of Lent, Pope John Paul II wrote a wonderful document on this topic, Dia Domine, which means the Lord's Day, in which he highlights the importance of living out the Lord's Day. And the primary way in which we live out the Lord's Day is by going to Mass, and by trying to live out to the fullest extent possible this greatest of all prayers, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So by going to Mass and participating fully, actively, and consciously in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and receiving communion worthily, we are truly living out the very heart of Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's Day, which we want to worship the Lord and praise the Lord and thank the Lord by participating in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Then after that, it's family day. The Lord's Day and family day. It's the Lord's Day and family day. So, as Vatican II points out, as Catholics in the Mass, we nourish ourselves from two tables. The table of the Word of God, and then the table of the Eucharist, the Body and Blood of Christ. For that reason, when we pray the Our Father, we say, give us this day our daily bread. This daily bread that we're talking about, is the Word of God and the Eucharist. Jesus said to Satan, man does not live on bread alone, but in every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So let's enter, my friends, into the riches of the Word of God. In my style as teacher in our Perseverance Family conversation is basically this. I'd like to try to give you an idea or a summary of the reading, an interpretation, and then an application. So the text, the summary of the text, interpreting it, what is God saying to us, and then how can we live it out? So today, we have, as is always the case in the Sunday Mass, three readings and the responsorial sum. So the first reading is taken from the book of Exodus, where we have Moses and the Israelites. They're traveling through the desert and they don't have water. They complain to Moses that they don't have water to drink. The responsorial psalm is taken from Psalm 95. And the antiphon is, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Then the third reading, the second reading rather, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5. Where St. Paul actually mentions in this reading various themes. He mentions the three theological virtues. What are the three theological virtues? It is the virtue of faith, hope, and charity. He mentions the Holy Spirit, and he mentions the word grace. And he mentions also that the death of Christ on the cross for love of us. Then we arrive at a gospel, very beautiful, long gospel for today. And this is taken from the fourth chapter of John. We'll try to give you a couple ideas from this. John chapter 4. In which Jesus, he, tired from a journey, at midday, he sits down beside the well at Sychar. And he enters into a conversation with the Samaritan woman. And he says to the Samaritan woman, give me to drink. Give me to drink. So that's an overview of the readings that we have today. So let's go back to the first reading, which is the reading taken from Exodus. And this is the context. Moses has already liberated the Israelite people from being slaves to the Egyptians, and they're crossing through the desert. They're crossing through the desert, and they run out of water. So the people start to complain to Moses and to God, saying, we don't have water to drink. We, our wives, our children, our livestock, we didn't have water to drink. We could have died in Egypt. There in Egypt we had enough to eat and we had enough to drink. And here as you've taken us out to the desert to die of thirst. So with these people complaining, their bitterness, Moses, once again, he turns to God, says to God that these people are not far from stoning me to death. And then God tells Moses to do something that we would have never thought of a million years, to get water. We would think you'd have to go to a well to get water, as we see in the Gospel reading where Jesus is close to the woman at the well. But God can do everything. God can work miracles. And what happens is, God tells Moses to go over to the rock and with his staff to strike the rock with his staff, and water will come out. And this, of course, would be a great miracle. There's no reason why water can come out of a rock. So Moses strikes the rock with his staff, and water comes gushing forth from that rock. And the people, their children, their livestock are able to drink. Now, there's much that can be said about this. But I'd like to say, leave you with one idea on this first reading. Everyone in this world wants to be happy. You want to be happy, I want to be happy, everyone wants to be happy. Why is it that you have so many people that are unhappy? It's because they're searching for happiness in the wrong place. It's like a thirsty person tries to slake his thirst by drinking salt water. By drinking salt water, you're going to become all the more thirsty. So we want to drink from God. We want to drink the water that God wants to give to us. This water that God wants to give to us is the Holy Spirit. Grace. The Eucharist, which we nourish ourselves by eating the body of Christ and drinking the blood of Christ. That gives us true happiness. So let us hunger and thirst for God. Psalm 41, verse 1, we read, As the deer yearns for the running streams. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord, my God. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. I'd like to quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. On prayer, what St. Augustine says. St. Augustine says, Jesus hungers that you hunger for him. Jesus thirsts that you thirst for him. And Augustine will go on to say, O Lord, you have made our hearts for thee, and our hearts are restless until we rest in thee. So we should try to slake our thirst in all that pertains to God. By trying to slake our thirst at anything that is not God, we will have even more thirst. Okay, the responsorial psalm. The responsorial psalm is taken from Psalm 95. The antiphon is this. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I think it's a good question in spiritual direction. How does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? I think it often happens that we can become selective listeners. That we want to hear only what we want to hear. Okay, you have children. I'll give you an example. Your children are selective listeners, and so are we at times. You tell your children to get up, make their bed, clean their room, clean the bathroom, take the trash out, and you say that twice, three times, four times, five times. But they don't seem to hear it. Almost as if they're tone deaf. They don't hear it. Then, you say, by the way, if this week you make your bed, you clean your room, you clean the bathroom, you take out the trash, then you avoid fighting among yourselves. Then on Saturday, I will take you to Disney. I will take you to Disney. Right away, you witness a miracle in your two children. They get out of bed quickly. They make their bed. They clean their closet. They clean the bathroom. They rush to take the trash out to the dumpster. They polish their shoes. They comb their hair. They help each other. They wash the dishes. Why? Why? Because they're motivated by a greater love. And that love is to love to go to Disneyland and to do all the rides and all the amusement that is present there. Now I think in our lives, sometimes we can become selective listeners. Sometimes we can become selective listeners. Once heard the story of a new pastor that came in. And on Sunday, he gave his first homily, and the people were very moved. It was a great homily. So the second week, the pastor preached the same homily. People thought that was a good idea because it was such a good homily. The third week, he preached exactly the same homily. People thought, well, maybe some people didn't come to the first two masses. So he did this Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. He did it for 10 Sundays in a row. Finally, after the 10th Sunday, these two elderly ladies in tennis shoes, they come up to him and say, Father, I mean, we've heard your homily 10 times in a row. It's good. It's a good homily, but don't you have any other homily? He said, I've got tons of other homilies, but I'll give you a new homily once you put into practice the first homily. How often has it happened that we hear something, but it goes in one ear and it goes out the other? We become selective listeners. When it's a matter of pleasure and vanity and pride, we have very clear hearing. But when it's a matter of sacrifice, the cross and suffering, well, we become tone deaf. We become tone deaf. How does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? In many ways. God speaks to us in many ways. And I mentioned several. First, God speaks to us through the Word of God. So today, if you hear the voice of God speaking through the Word of God, harden not your hearts. This is a good prayer before listening to the Bible or reading your Bible or doing your holy hour. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. That's right. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. How else does God speak? Well, God speaks. God also speaks through other people. God speaks to other people. I'd like to give you an example of a homily that I've given over the years in the Children's Mass. I'll ask the children, Have you ever heard? Have you ever heard God speak to you? And they're looking at me. Most of them never really thought about that. Have you ever heard God speak to you? And they're thinking, I don't think so. Well, I think God has spoken to you, and he speaks to you in many, many different ways. But let me tell you how God probably has spoken to you over the past week. Listen to how God speaks to you. Hey, get up and get ready for school. Hey, clean your room. Hey, get in the car. We'll be late for school. Hey, come on now. It's time for dinner. Hey, come on now in the living room. Light the candle. We're going to pray the rosary. Hey, let me bless you so you can go to bed in peace. Hey, turn off the TV and go in your bedroom and get ready for bed. Hey, make sure you do your homework. Hey, don't fight with your brother, your sister. Hey. Now, children, they don't like to hear this. They become selective listeners. They don't like to hear this. But God speaks to us through the Bible. That's true. But God speaks to us through other people. So God speaks to us through our parents. And that's the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. But God will also speak to us through those who represent the church, and that would be the priest. I'd like to tell you a personal anecdote how God speaks through the priest, but sometimes people simply they don't want to listen. Years ago, probably more than 10 years ago, a middle-aged woman said that she had a daughter that was going through a tough time in discerning her vocation. And the mother asked me if I could talk with her daughter. I said, fine. So the daughter came in, and she was, I'd say, maybe 29 years old, not even 30, about 29 years old. Her parents were Mexican. She was born here. And she was actually a young doctor. Attractive woman, very refined, very articulate. And she wanted to talk to me about her vocation, specifically about the marriage vocation. So I said, sure. So you plan to get married? She said, yes. Okay, fine. She said to me, Father, I'm a doctor and I'm going out with a doctor. Oh, fine. So both of us are doctors, and we're fiancés, and we're planning on getting married. She said that he's Anglo, he's Caucasian, and I come from an Hispanic family. I said, well, okay, it's okay. Then she said this. Well, Father, there is one difference between me and him, even though we're both practice the same profession of medicine. But he's a non-believer. And I'm a practicing Catholic, as well as I come from a very strong Catholic family. I listen. And I don't like to beat around the bush. I don't like to waste time, because life is just too short to be wasting time. So, I told her, with great concern about her future, I said, what you ought to do is break up with this man. In New York English, drop him like a hot potato. Leave him. It's not going to work out. The fact that you both chose to be doctors is very important, but even more important is your choice for your state of life, and the choice of the person you're going to marry and live with until the end of your life. There was a brief silence, and she started to, tears welled up in her eyes. She actually said to me, Father, I know you're right. And often in this case, I'll say this. If in your marriage choice, which is the most important choice in your life, if in your marriage choice, your vocation, which is the most important choice in your life, if you make a wrong decision, it can be catastrophic. It can be catastrophic if you make the wrong decision. Then I say this. If you're with the wrong person, you're never going to meet the right person. When I say that, that will usually silence all the people that I'm dealing with on this topic. If you're with the wrong person, you're never going to meet the right person. So the woman went away. I mean, she just, pretty sure she disregarded my advice. Disregarded my advice. Which, my friends, is painful. Because we as priests, we as counselors, we have the sacrament of holy order. We have pastoral experience. And the advice that I give to someone is going to be different from her girlfriend or her cousin. Because my advice is related to the eternal salvation of her soul. My advice is related to the eternal salvation of her soul. As Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? What can we exchange for our soul? So, today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. As it did in Meribah and Massah, related to the rebellion of the people in the first reading when the people were rebelling against Moses and God because they didn't have water to drink. Be open to the way in which God speaks to you. So God speaks. God speaks. He speaks through the Bible, the Word of God. God speaks to the Bible, the Word of God. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Second, God speaks through persons. And that would be, God speaks through persons, from parents. That would be the fourth commandment, as I mentioned. When children hear the voice of their parents, often they do not want to listen. And we can all fall into that syndrome. It's called the selective hearing syndrome. How else does God speak? God speaks through the priests and the church, giving advice, as I gave you in that circumstance, that anecdote. How else does God speak? God speaks through this channel also. He speaks through He'll speak through your confessor, and also He'll speak through the context of spiritual direction. All of us who are pursuing a life of holiness, all of us who are pursuing a life of holiness should recognize that God speaks to us through the confessor. You read through the diary of St. Faustina how often Faustina was going through desolation, going through intense suffering. And she would have recourse. She would have recourse to her confessor. That'd be Father Sopochko or Father Andrasch. Usually she had one or two confessors. But also God speaks to us through a spiritual direction. All of you are honestly pursuing a life of holiness. All of you should have some spiritual direction. And Letty has just pointed out through experience, that's a good idea. And I would say by making your daily examine, then God will speak to you through experience. That's right. You go through your day in your daily examine, and you walk through the day with the Lord at your side, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And God does speak to us. God does speak to us. He speaks to us in our daily walk, in daily experience, through the people that we meet, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, through the happenings in the world, even what's happening in the world around us, God speaks to us through that. I would say, for example, the worldwide pandemic that we all experienced for about 3 years. That was a clarion call from God to the whole world. To turn our hearts to God. And to rely on God as our Savior. To rely on God as our healer. To rely on God as our divine physician. How true. And recently, the tragic death of the Bishop David O'Connell, God speaks through that also. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. But the tragic death of this bishop that many of us knew and loved, his tragic death speaks very clearly, I think, to us, especially we who live in Los Angeles, about the reality of death and our own mortality. My friends, we don't know the day, nor the hour, nor the moment, nor the way that God is going to call us. But we have to be prepared. If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in Meribah and Massah. If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in Meribah and Massah. This should be our prayer, that we would be open to God speaking to us through the Bible, through parents, through priests, through circumstances, through inspirations. If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. May this be our prayer. May this be our prayer. Speak, O Lord. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Let's ask Mary, the Mother of God, who is always very open to God, as well as Saint Joseph, for the ability to hear the Word of God, but also to put it into practice. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.